you, Lord. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through your word today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you give us ears to hear. I thank you, Father God, that by the Holy Spirit, you give me utterance to say what we need to hear this day, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your holy written word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Before I get into the message, I'm going to... Hallelujah. Psalm 139. Let's go there this morning. Psalm 139 and verse 16. I want to read this out of the New International Version, and then we'll go from there. Psalm 139, verse 16. It says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." This is the psalmist testifying that about how God knit him together even in his mother's womb. And he says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body." And he says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book." Well, if he said that about himself, that applies to each one of our lives. Amen. All the days ordained for you were written in his book before one of them came to be. Now, there's a lot of different ways we can look at that, different ways that this applies. One of them that's I think is quite remarkable that I really didn't study in school, so I don't know a lot about it. Some of you may know a lot more about it than I do, and that's this thing called DNA. DNA. You know, they tell us that DNA is actually a written code. It's actually information that's inside you, and it's like a book that tells your body it's in you from conception, from the moment that you're conceived. It's a written code that tells your body how to develop. It determines your eye color, your hair color, the size of your feet, your facial features, and all of that. It's written. It's a written code that determines all that. It's really quite amazing, isn't it? I think I've got that right, but that's my limited understanding of DNA. So that's part of it. God, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. Physically, your physical development, God has a book written, and it's actually on the inside of you that tells your body to make this and do this and become this. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. You've got all that written down. It's written code. God has your life. He has your life written in the book of his great plan of redemption. And then has anybody ever heard of the Bible code? Anybody know about the Bible code or the Torah code, that there are encoded messages, and they've gone back and looked at historical events, and after the fact they found out, well that was in the Bible. It was encoded in secret text in the Bible when they did the equidistant letter sequencing, and I know a little, I don't know much about DNA, and I know even less about the Bible code, so I'm not going to try to explain it to you. But there is a thing called the Bible code, and some have speculated that every person is actually, their life is actually encoded in the Bible. I think that's possible. Because you think of all the combinations of all the scriptures and all the combinations of letter sequencing that's possible. I think it's possible that your life is actually encoded in the pages of scripture. That's pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? Again, I'm not preaching that as doctrine. You know, it's speculation, but I think it's interesting to think about. But neither one of those is what I'm talking about today. When I look at this, all the days ordained for me were written in your book. And also, we're not talking about this. This is not, please don't get the wrong idea and the wrong concept here. When it says all the days ordained for me were written in your book, it does not mean that everything that happens to you, every bad thing, every calamity, every tragedy, every disappointment, that's the will of God, or that God planned that. The scripture's not saying that either. That's not what this is talking about either. What he's talking about is what was the theme of our Vacation Bible School. I really love the theme this year. The theme of our VBS was finding your place in God's story. Finding your place in God's story. I believe you can. I believe you can find your place in God's story because God has included you in his story. God has included you in his plan. God can and God does and God will speak to you. How? From His written word. From His written word, from the Bible, and give you scriptures to guide your life. That's what I'm talking about this morning. He will give you scriptures from His written word that will guide your life and that will show you and reveal to you His purpose for your life. You can find it right in the pages of His word. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Let me give you a couple of examples of this, and then I want to talk about my own life for a moment. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, look there with me if you would. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says, so he came, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. I want to stop right there. The Bible says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Do you know that was Jesus' custom that every Sabbath he went into the synagogue? You know what that is? That's an example for us that we ought to have a custom that we go to church and worship God on what we celebrate, what Christians celebrate on as our Sabbath or our day of the Lord, which is Sunday. And you can, you know, again, there's a, you know, you can, Paul said one person observes a day, another person considers every day a lot. Certainly we should worship God and live for Him every day. But it is important to come together. Somebody said, well, I don't need to go to church. Oh, yes, you do. Jesus did. If Jesus did, then you do. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir here because you're here. But go tell all those folks that weren't here this morning, hey, you need to be in church. Jesus was. Hallelujah. Amen. He went to church. It was His custom. And you should too. And I should too. Verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. I like that. It says he found the place where it was written. And this is what was written. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So they handed him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and it was on a scroll. And he went to what we know as Isaiah 61. And he started reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And they said that Jesus said it like that day. He put the emphasis on me. He said the Spirit of the Lord. He wasn't just reading a passage. He was talking about His life. Because he had found it. He had found his story. He had found his life in the pages of the Scripture. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. In verse 21 it says, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, he said, I am the fulfillment of this scripture. He says, I am talking. He was talking about himself there. He said, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. And he realized that he had found and he had discovered what was written in the scripture about him. He said, well, he's the Son of God. Of course he did. But remember, he had to grow. You know, being born as a baby, he had to grow as a child. We know that when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple, and he said, did you not know, when his parents came back looking for him, did you not know that I had to be about my Father's business? But he had to grow into an awareness of who he was. And how did he do that? He would read the scripture. He would read the law, and he would read the prophets, and he would read the Psalms. And he would find passages that would burn in his heart and that he would realize, that's talking about me. That's talking about my mission. That's talking about my purpose. That's talking about my destiny. That's who I am. You say, of course he did. I mean, he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. Of course he's going to find scriptures about him. But it's not limited just to him. It's not limited just to our Savior. Look at Acts chapter 13. Can y'all see your Bibles all right in these? Can we turn these side lights up a little bit? Thank you. All right. I appreciate that. That helps. Verse 46. Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now, this is Paul and Barnabas. They're out ministering the word of God. And they said, we're going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. We have direction and commandment from God to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And they say in verse 47, "And for so the Lord has commanded us." Well, where did they get that command? Did they get that in a dream? God can speak in dreams. He spoke to Paul in dreams before. God can speak in vision. Where did they get this? Where did they get this command? Where did the Lord command them to do this? Well, they received this direction for their ministry. They received this direction and they received this revelation about their purpose and what they were supposed to do from the Scripture. They're quoting the book of Isaiah when he says, "I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Look at, it's found in Isaiah 49, verse 6. God commanded them and God gave them direction by speaking to them from His written word. Amen. Are you still out there this morning? Look at Isaiah 49, verse 6. "Indeed," he says, "is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you," now this is talking about Jesus in one sense, it's talking about the Messiah doing this, but Paul and Barnabas found their purpose within these verses too. As they read this from Isaiah one day, God began to speak to them, and God began to give them direction, and this word began to burn in their hearts as they read it. God began to speak to them and say, "I'm talking about you. This is direction for you." Amen. He says, "I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." So just as Jesus found the place where it was written about him, Paul and Barnabas found the place where it was written about them. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book." My purpose, my plan, direction for my life, it's written in your book. And they found that. When they read these words, it burned. These words burned in their hearts, and they knew that God was commanding them, take the gospel to the Gentiles. Praise God. They found their place in God's story. Amen. I believe that God can do that. I believe that He does do that. And I believe that He will do that for each and every one of us. Not just for Jesus, not just for Paul and Barnabas, but I believe for you and for me. That's why it's so important to read the Word of God. That's why it's so important to read the Scripture. And I want to share with you a Scripture that God gave me some time back, and I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't sitting around saying, "Oh, God, give me direction for my life. Oh, God, show me your purpose." It's not wrong to pray that way, certainly. It's not wrong to ask God to give you direction and to show you His purpose. We should pray those prayers. But I wasn't particularly praying that. I was just reading my Bible. I was just doing, out of a good habit, reading the Word of God, which is why it's so important. I can't stress that enough. I hope you read your Bible every day. I hope you read the Word of God every day. It will feed you. It will nourish you. That's where you get your direction. That's where you get your encouragement. You might not get, you might not have a glorious outward experience every day when you read the Bible. If you do it first thing in the morning, you might just be waking up and still trying to wipe the cobwebs out of your brain. You might not see angels and Jesus might not walk into the room and appear to you, but you're getting something every day as you read the Word of God. And if you'll open your heart as you read it, if you'll say, "Lord, speak to me from your Word," He will give you something every day. And then there will be times where this happened to me. I don't even know how long ago it's been. It's been several years ago, and the Lord brought me back to it just recently. I just rediscovered it. I had actually lost sight of it. That He'll speak to you from His Word and say, this is for you. This is your purpose. This is direction for you. Has that ever happened to anybody? Is this relating? Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Well, He did that for me. And I felt impressed to share this with you today, and we'll probably the rest of it next week. But again, I wasn't looking for this. I wasn't particularly praying. I just was reading my Bible. And I came across something. And again, He brought it back to me recently. So it's Isaiah 55. So look there with me. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3. Isaiah 55, verse 3, it says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Now that helps when you find your name right in the Bible. I know not all of you are as blessed as me to be able to do that, but no, you can find you're in there just as much as anybody that has a. I just happen to have a name that's in the Bible, and I'm thankful for my name. The sure mercies of David, verse 4. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. And I can show you. I found it in my Bible. I actually ran across it in some notes that I had. I think it's right here. Yeah, this was in. I had. There were several scriptures that I was standing on about some situations I was praying about. So I just you know put them together on a page front and back, and typed them out or copied and pasted them out of my Bible study program on my computer, and just put a page together and print them out and just keep them in my Bible and go over them and read them and speak them over my life. And I had lost track of this. I've got a couple of sheets like this. I'd lost track of this one, and I happened to run across it just a while back, and the Lord brought me back to this. And I don't know if you can see it from, Robin can testify here for me, that a witness is in bold, and a leader is in bold, and commander is in bold. And that's the way the Lord spoke it to me. As I read it, those words were like they stood out. And He gave me direction about my life and my purpose. He says, you're to be a witness, you're to be a leader, and you're to be a commander. A witness, a leader, and a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Praise God. So I want to talk to you about the first part of that today. I am a witness. I am a witness. Hallelujah. That's what, Ananias, when Saul, who later became Paul, you know, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Remember that? And he knocked him off his horse. He was blinded by the glory of the light. And so he comes, he's led into the city and by his servants and people that are traveling with him. And then the Lord speaks to Ananias, a disciple, and He tells him to go and to minister to Saul. So Ananias, the Lord had to convince him because, hey, Lord, I've heard about him. This man's been, persecuting the church. He's been killing Christians, and you want me to go and pray for him? Are you sure, Lord? And the Lord said, yes, go. And so so Ananias went and ministered to him. And here is what Paul relating later, what Ananias said to him in Acts chapter 22. This is not where the event is recorded originally, but Paul is recounting that experience. And in Acts 22, verse 14, then Ananias said, the God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know His will and see the just one and hear the voice of His mouth. For ye will be His witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. What we're doing is we're letting the Scripture define for us, letting the Bible define for us, what does it mean to be a witness? What does it mean? And because the Lord spoke to me and said that I'm a witness. Well, what is a witness? He says, you'll be His witness to all men of what you've seen and heard. A witness testifies of what he's seen and heard. Amen? Praise God. In Acts 26, verse 16, later, Paul is recounting the experience of where Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he's telling the people about it. In verse 16, here's what Jesus said to him. He said to me, "Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." So from these scriptures, then, we get the Bible definition of what a witness is. Someone who testifies of what he has seen, of what he has heard, and of what's been revealed to him by the Lord. So I stand before you today as a witness. I am a witness of the things that I've seen, the things that I've heard, and the things that the Lord has revealed to me. He said, "I've given you as a witness for the people." A witness for the people. So I want to witness about some things. I want to tell you that I'm a witness of His saving power. Hallelujah. I am a witness of His saving power. See, salvation, being born again, being saved, being a child of God, is not just some doctrine that I've studied. It's something that I've experienced. It's something that I've seen. It's something that I've known and that I've experienced. I've experienced God's power to save from sin because He saved me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He saved me. He saved me from my sin. He washed me in the blood of Jesus. He made me a new creation. You can't tell me that's not true or it's not real because I've experienced it. Amen. Hallelujah. The new birth is real. Being born again, being saved is real. Becoming a child of God is real. Hallelujah. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I'm going to heaven. I don't lay awake at night and wonder, I wonder if I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because of any other reason than I know that He saved me and I have that witness in my heart. I've experienced it. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." If you believe in the Son of God, that witness is on the inside of you. On the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, as it says in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let me ask you something. Do you have that witness on the inside of you? Do you know? Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Well, you too are a witness then. See, this is not just about me. You're a witness as well. Amen? I'm a witness, the second thing, this morning, I'm a witness of His healing power. I'm a witness of His healing. You can't tell me that healing has passed away. You can't tell me that God doesn't heal anymore. You can't tell me that it might not be God's will to heal. All those arguments, they won't work on me. Why? I'm a witness. I've experienced it. I've seen it. I've seen, I've heard, I've experienced His healing power on my behalf and operating through me as well. In both realms, I'm a witness of His healing power both in me and through me. Now, I've never had any life-threatening diseases, anything where I, you know, almost died or could have died. Some of you, maybe you have, and you're a witness of God's healing power. He's raised you from a deathbed. Some of you maybe can testify to that. But I heard Brother Hagin, you know, say before at times he was sick that he felt like he would have to get better just to die. Anybody ever felt that way? Well, that's not true, of course, but I've experienced some sickness where I felt like I'm going to have to get better just to die. And what used to plague me were, I don't know if you call it, if they would be considered classified sinus headaches or migraine headaches, but beginning in 1978, when I was a junior in high school, from 1978 to 1993, that's about 16 years, because if you count 78 and you count 93, 16 years, I had, not frequently, but regularly, I had these severe headaches. And I wouldn't have them frequently, but I would have one or two a year. And they would just be devastatingly bad. I mean, they would just knock me out. My vision would start. The first thing was that your vision starts going blurry, and then it's like something's in the corner of your eye. And what is that in my eye? And then you realize it's your vision going. You start seeing these things, and your vision gets blurry, and then the pain you know, begins to come. And then along with the pain is so bad, you know, you get nauseated, you start throwing up. And I know y'all want to hear this before lunch today, but anyway, it would just knock me out. I mean, I would be just, you know, laying in the bed crying for mercy, you know, for a full day, pretty much a full day. And it would be about 3 days before the pain would finally, you know, I would not be so sick. I would be able to get up and function usually after a day, but then that pain would still be there for about 3 days. And I would have at least one of these, sometimes two. I don't think more than two or three in a year, but they were regular. They were consistent. Every year I would have it, and I would know, well, this is coming on me. And so I know that it was either 93 or 94, I decided, you know, like Lizette said, I'm going to receive God's love. I don't have to have this. And Christ has redeemed me. I remember that was the scripture that I based my faith on at that time. Christ has redeemed me. Galatians 3:13. Look at it with me. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, I found out that the curse of the law, when he says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, what does that mean? Well, you go back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you find from verses 15 through the rest of the chapter, you find the curse of the law is listed in detail, what the curse of the law is, and you find out that it includes every disease and every sickness. He mentions a lot of sicknesses and diseases, and then he says, also every disease and sickness not written in this book. So all of them that we're writing about, and then all of them that are not written. So that would include everyone, wouldn't it? So every disease, every sickness is a part of the curse of the law. I got a revelation, finally. Again, it was 93 or 94. I got a revelation. You know, these things that I've been enduring, putting up with, that's part of the curse of the law, and Christ redeemed me from that. I remember the day I was taking our kids, I guess it was just Will and Jeremy at that time, I remember dropping them off at school at Maranatha Christian Academy. And from there, I was going down to Buford to visit a couple in our church. The wife was battling a severe disease, and I was going to visit her and to pray for her and minister to her. And as I was taking the kids to school that day, boy, here comes one of those headaches. My vision starts getting blurry, you know, and you know, the pain starts. I dropped them off at school. I believe I may even have thrown up, you know, that morning. Did I? You remember that? The thing. Well, I stopped and threw up on the way, and I said, you know, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Jesus redeemed me from this. I'm not going to put up with this. I don't have to have this. Jesus redeemed me from this. And the devil's telling me, you know, you better turn around and go home right now. You're not even going to be able to get home. You're not even going to be able to drive home. And you're going to go down to these people's house and try to minister to them, and you're not even going to get out of your car, much less drive home. What are you doing? I said, no, I'm going. I'm supposed to go. I'm their pastor. I'm supposed to be there, and I'm going. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. You know, the first time in 16 years, it had never happened. But that day, as I was driving down to those people's house, that thing left. That headache left. That pain left. That nausea, it left. My vision came back. It left. And it not only stayed away that day, but it stayed away the next day and the next month and the next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that. Hallelujah. Now the devil slipped in one about 6 years ago. I had one, but that's the first one that I had had in all those years from 1993. I went 15, 16 years without having one. And I had not failed to have one or more than one every single year. Not frequent, but regular. And I was free that day. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. And I've been free. I haven't had another one since 2008. So thank God. Thank God. It's good to be free. I'm a witness of His healing power. Hallelujah. You can't tell me that healing is not real. I've seen the power of God. As Rob and I have laid hands on people, I've seen the power of God heal folks. You can probably, there's probably folks in here, you can testify. You can testify of God's power as we laid hands on. Well, it wasn't us that healed you. God just happened to use us. He can use anybody. Amen. But I'm a witness of His healing power. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm a witness. I'm a witness of the reality of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I know when I was a senior in high school, that was back in 1979. That's 35 years ago. We're about to have next month, we're having our 35th reunion, high school reunion. But when I was a senior in high school, I first heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I never had heard about that growing up as a boy. But one of my friends in high school had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. He invited me to a Bible study that this man from First Baptist Church had started in this lady's house. That it's quite interesting. You know, when we started coming New Life Church, we met for the first 6 months in the Episcopal Church. Then we moved into a rented building on Mary Alice Park Road. The Webb family was with us. I guess that's the only ones that were with us back in those days before we bought this building. But that house that I went to the prayer meeting and Bible study where I heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and where I was prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you could throw a rock from our building on Mary Alice and hit that house. It was just right behind. I thought that's quite ironic that's where I first started moving into the things of the Spirit of God. But I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and I look back at that as a real turning point in my life. Jesus became so real to me after that time. The Word of God came alive to me after that time. I had a hunger for the Word of God that I'd never had before. That was a real turning point. I became aware and conscious shortly after that of a call of God on my life that I didn't realize was there. And so all of that through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And about the same time, Robin got filled with the Holy Spirit. She was down at Georgia Southern College, and I remember her talking about running across these people, coming across these people that had joy, that had fire about them. And she said, you know, that's what I want. Praise God. They were a witness to her. Amen. And I saw the same thing. People that had joy, people that had fire, that was a witness to us. Hey, this thing is not about religion. This thing is not about tradition. This thing is about, there's more of God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's more of God. Amen? Amen? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's why he's talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to enable us to be a witness. Hallelujah. We're witnesses through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. And I'm a witness of the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God. I've had the gifts. I know that they're real. I've had them operate through me. I know that the things of the Spirit of God are real. It's not emotion. It's not hype. It's real. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm a witness also connected to this. I'm a witness. I'm a witness of an outpouring of God. I'm a witness of the charismatic renewal. I'm a product of the charismatic renewal. That's the name that we've given it, that church historians have given it, of an outpouring of God that began in the 1960s, in the late 1960s, and continued on in through the 70s and into the early 80s. It's known, as you can look it up in church history, the charismatic renewal. Brother Carl got swept into, this Lutheran boy got swept into the baptism in the Holy Spirit during that time. We Baptist kids got swept into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what God was doing. He was pouring out His Spirit, and denominational people that were in mainline and denominational churches were all of a sudden getting filled with the Holy Spirit and discovering the power of the Spirit of God and discovering the joy and the fire. Amen? Is anybody, you came into the things of God in that charismatic, raise your hand if you did. Praise God. Several of you did. Amen. Praise God. I'm a witness to that. And that's why I have hope. And that's why I have an expectancy for an outpouring of God today, for an outpouring of God in our generation. I wasn't looking for this. I was just minding my own business. You know, I wasn't looking for more of God, and we got swept in. I know Robin, she was a little more noble than me. She said she was looking, so she was praying. She at least was praying. She said, "Lord, you know, where's that comforter?" When she went away to college, she said, "Lord, where's that comforter? I need him." Hallelujah. And soon God led her to folks that were Spirit-filled that testified to her about the reality of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, we got caught up, though, in this great wave of God's Spirit. Millions of people were swept into the fullness of God through this. It's amazing if you think about it and look at it. We need that today. We need a move of God like that today. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, out of the Amplified Bible, here's what Peter spoke, and here's the scriptural precedent for what we're talking about. But instead, Peter said, but instead, this is the beginning. He said, these are not drunk as you suppose. He's explaining what's happening on the day of Pentecost as these 120 believers come out boiling out of the upper room, speaking in other tongues. And he said, these are not drunk as you suppose. Instead, this is the beginning. I like the way the Amplified says it. Instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. The day of Pentecost was not the one and only. It was the beginning. This is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels. And your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances. And your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams. He says this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. There was an outpouring of God's Spirit on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, but there have been subsequent outpourings of the Spirit throughout every generation. In fact, Jonathan Edwards, the man that God used as a catalyst for the Great Awakening, he said from the beginning of creation to this present day, he said the kingdom of God, the working of God, God's work in the earth has been advanced primarily through remarkable pourings out of the Spirit of God. So the work of God in every generation needs an outpouring. Every generation, I believe God has a visitation. I believe God has an outpouring for every generation. And so it's up to us in this day to contend for that, to believe for that, to pray for that for our generation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I believe for that. I have an expectancy for an even greater outpouring of God that will awaken our nation, as Robin was talking about. Let me read that scripture again. It fits in right here. Praise God that she read, that she declared this morning. Oh, we can just get it on the screen. Okay, I got it. Okay. And put it back on the screen like you did. Sure. Okay. From the four corners of the earth, people are coming to their senses and are running back to God. Hallelujah. That's an outpouring of the Spirit that causes that to happen. Glory to God. I believe for that, that people are coming to their senses and running back to God. Long lost families are falling on their faces before Him. God has taken charge. From now on, He has the last word. Amen. Amen. I'm believing for that. Glory to God. Our children and their children will get in on this as the word is passed along from parent to child. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's expect and believe for an outpouring of God in our generation, in our time. Amen. I'm a witness. I know it happens. You can't tell me that, oh, no, that you're theologically incorrect there. These do not have. Hey, you can't tell me that. I know they do. I'm a witness. Hallelujah. I came in to more of God through an outpouring of the Spirit called the charismatic renewal. I know they happen. I know God does. I know God moves that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Finally, I'm a witness of God's faithfulness to provide. I am a witness to you. God has given me as a witness. I'm witnessing to you that salvation, that the new birth is real. Hallelujah. I'm a witness to you that his healing power is real. I'm a witness to you that the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, that that's real. I'm a witness to you of those things, to encourage you to come along, to encourage you to walk with God, to encourage you to experience these things. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm a witness of God's faithfulness to provide. I know that he's a provider. I know that he will provide. I know that he'll provide for you. I'm witnessing to the fact that I'm not saying he did this for me. I'm saying if he did it for me, he will do it for you too. Amen. I'm a witness of his faithfulness to provide. I've shared with before the story about how, in I think it was 2006, we decided to sell our house, and it didn't sell for, about a year. That's when the housing market crashed, and we felt like we needed to sell it in order to draw the equity out to get our, get our kids through college. And so finally, I think it was in 2007. I haven't written that date down. But the Lord spoke to me from the scripture. In the book of Genesis, I was reading this story about Joseph and about the famine that was in Egypt and about how the people came, to Pharaoh when the Egyptians, when the famine was severe, the people came and they sold their lands. In order to, they traded their land. We'll give the government our land if you just give us some food. And so they sold their land. And it says in there was a verse in there in that account. It says, but the priests did not have to sell their land. And so the Lord spoke to me from that verse, and he said, if you want, you can sell your house if you want to, but you don't have to. Don't do it out of necessity. He said, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. I'll provide for you. And he did. And he did. He was faithful to do that. But there was a time during that period. This was in, I didn't have the date marked down, but I believe it was 2009. It's about 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago, that he was providing, but things were very tight. And there was a lot of, I was just feeling and sensing and just had a lot of financial pressure on me at that time. And it seemed like, Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it through this? And it was just very tight. There was just a lot of financial pressure. And I came in, and I remember that morning, just as I was taking a shower, getting ready for the day, just my thoughts were, God, do you care? Have you forgotten about us here? I would love to tell you that I stayed completely 100% in faith. I never had an anxious moment, but that's just not true. The truth is, I was very discouraged, and I said, God, do you remember that we're here, that we're trying to serve you? And I remember walking into the office that day, and the secretary said, Pastor, there's an envelope here for you. And I opened it up, and there was a check in there. Now, this was from some people that did not come to our church, people that lived hundreds of miles away in another state, people that I had not seen or talked to in years. And there was a check for $5,000. $5,000. And I just thought, here I was anxious, and here I was telling, Lord, do you care? And that check was sitting in the office. Now think about your life. You may be thinking, I don't know, you may be complaining or like I was to the Lord, and he's already got the check in the mail. what was he going to answer me? I've got a surprise for you. I can't tell you right. It was already there. Praise God. I'm a witness that he's faithful to provide. And if you will trust him, he is not withholding. I said he is not withholding from you. Hallelujah. That was a miraculous provision. That was a miraculous provision. Again, it was from people that we hadn't seen or talked to in years. Praise God. God knows what you need if you'll trust him. Yeah, but I wasn't perfect. Well, I wasn't either. I wasn't perfect that day. We need to hold fast our confession. We need to endeavor to walk by faith. Certainly we do. Amen. But your faith is enough. You have faith. Amen. Your faith will work. and he will provide. I'm a witness of his faithfulness to provide. Glory to God. I'm a witness that his word is true. Praise God. I'm a witness that God can be trusted. I'm a witness that he's merciful. I'm a witness that he's good. I'm a witness that he's faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have been young, and now I'm a little older. I'm not going to say it like the psalmist said. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Amen. God is faithful. God is good. The further along I walk in this, the more convinced I am that God is good. Not the less, the more. The further along I walk in this, the more I'm convinced his word is true and he can be trusted. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm a witness. God spoke to me through his word. I found my place in his story. I found the place where it was written about me. I've given him as a witness to the people. And you know, this is not just about me. You're a witness too. What have you experienced? What have you seen? What have you heard? What do you know of God? We're to be witnesses of it. Our lives, our words, we're to be witnesses of his goodness. Why? So others can know. So others can hear. So others can be encouraged. So others can believe. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus.